This is the Speaker's Corner Show. My name is Heiko Koo. The show is broadcast every Sunday at 4:30 p.m. on 104.4 Resonance FM. And you can visit our website at speakerscorner.net, speakerscorner.net. Or you can come down to Speaker's Corner any Sunday afternoon and join us. Today I'm with Manzoor Ahmed. He's the head of the Pakistan People's Party, People's Labour Bureau, the Labour wing of the People's Party of Pakistan. Manzoor, what's the situation of the Labour movement in Pakistan nowadays?
Mainly it's a labor situation is not a very good, and even not a very bad situation, you know. There's a lot of strikes, workers are fighting, and getting some benefits from the regime also, and from the owners, from the bosses also. So this roundabout, due to the struggle of the workers, it's a raise in the wages of the workers, around about 100%.
And since when?
Since within 3 years, within the regime of the PPP regime, and this minimum wages from the 4,400 to 7,000 rupees. So it's a raise in the wages, but still there's the problem of the implementation, you know. So and many more things workers get from through their struggle in this period. Basically, PPP is even in this conditions because its base is workers, poor peasants. So that's why they are forced to raise in the wages, you know. That is the real story. But in the last, there are three or four successful strikes which the workers won. One is the Karachi Electricity Corporation, where the more than 4,000 workers have been sacked.
Is it a private company?
Yes, it is private company. That's the only electricity private company. But finally, through their struggle, workers won, and the management has forced to take back their decision, you know.
How long was the struggle for?
It's 3 to 4 days. There was a sit-in, and finally there was a negotiations between the government and the owners of that company.
Would it be true to say that strikes end relatively rapidly here?
Pardon?
Would it be true to say that strikes generally tend to be quite short in duration?
Yes, mainly very short. And then there was a strike of the Pakistan International Airline workers. Mm. That's also the very successful strike. And so many other strikes. So sometimes there is attack from the regime, sometimes there's workers won, you know. But even in this last 3 years, there's more than 150,000 workers has been confirmed, was on daily wages and the contract basis in the last regime. And the sex.
You mean their employment status has been confirmed as a contract worker rather than a daily worker?
Yeah. The both contract and daily wages.
Right, okay.
Now they are the confirmed workers and the regular workers of.
What's the difference between the two in terms of what happens?
Daily wages is less than 90 days workers permit.
Right.
And the contract is 1 year, 2 years, 3 years contract.
Okay.
So they have not the benefits, after the retirement, after the and the medical and the education. All the benefits, they were deprived, daily wages and the contract workers. Now, after the confirmation, they are enjoying the regular, all the facilities like the regular workers.
Okay.
So that was one major step, you know. The second is more than 15,000 sacked workers. And there was, again, a good struggle of the workers.
What type of industries were they sacked?
In the different industries, from the telecommunication, from the gas, from the
public sector.
Yes, mainly the public sectors. You know, so they have restored now, and then there's a lot of struggles that are going on that we are supporting all the time.
What were the consequences of the flooding last year?
It's a very bad consequences because this economy is in a very bad shape, especially the agriculture sector, because mainly that flood has destroyed the agriculture economy. So in the last year, there was in the agriculture sector, there was growth 4.5%. Now this year, it's minus 1. So Pakistan economy basically is based on the agriculture economy. So that's why it's in a very bad condition. Pakistan economy is very bad condition. That's why regime has attacked and cuts in the development budgets. That is very bad. And in the near future, there will be a consequences of that cut.
Is Pakistan able to feed itself with its own agricultural strength?
Yes. Yes, Pakistan can, and Pakistan has a lot of potential. But due to the system, due to the this imperialist system and the feudal system, Pakistan is stuck up in a very, especially in different problems, you know. That's why there's a per acre yield is very low in the world. So now Pakistan is producing more wheat, more rice, more sugarcane. Everything is, but the prices of all these things are very high. So it's already against the poor people.
What has been the influence of American intervention in Afghanistan in the fate of Pakistani society and politics?
In Afghanistan, that's again their intervention is creating here. The drone attacks and all these things, you know, that's creating hatred against American imperialism. And even the case of Raymond Davis, it's still a very big question within the Pakistan. So among the masses, this is the intervention of American imperialism has created more and more hatred, you know. And again, it's strengthening the fundamentalism in Pakistan. So in the near future, there will be a big fight between India and Pakistan within the Afghanistan, not only the NATO forces only. There may be there will be a proxy war between India and Pakistan.
What's the root of this? What's India's influence in Pakistan? How does that originate? What's the base of it?
Not in Pakistan, in Afghanistan.
In Afghanistan.
So, but through the Afghanistan, if there is a fight between India and Pakistan within the Afghanistan, who will control after the American forces?
But how does India relate to Afghanistan?
India's after the Taliban regime. Now India's in Afghanistan. India's working a lot, doing a lot, especially they're spending a lot of money in Afghanistan. More than $1.5 billion they're spending on the infrastructure. Okay. Why they're spending? They have some interests. They have some important gains. They want to win this war in Afghanistan because they are thinking that through Afghanistan, Pakistan is involving in India. Through Afghanistan, the Pakistan is operating through Afghanistan in India.
And how would Pakistan influence India through Afghanistan?
Pardon?
How would Pakistan, you said Pakistan is operating through Afghanistan?
In the last regime, when the Taliban was there, there's a lot of for instance, there was a hijacking of a plane,
yeah,
landed in Afghanistan,
yeah,
and there was the demands to release some terrorists, and they forced to release through Afghanistan. That's why then they're thinking that Pakistan is using the Afghanistan against India. And vice versa, nowadays, India is using Afghanistan against Pakistan. So that is the issue. So that will be a very vital in the near future Who will control Afghanistan? India or Pakistan? After the pulling out of the American forces, even it's a big question. It's a big if they will pull out. So that will be a very crucial moment in the near future in 2014.
And what is the influence of Afghani unrest, terrorism, and so on inside Pakistan?
It is nowadays it's through Afghanistan they're operating. You know, because there's a lot of Taliban groups which are pro-Pakistan, which are anti-Pakistan, this pro-Americans, anti-Americans.
How do they organize actually on the ground inside Pakistan?
Because inside Pakistan, they have, because Pakistan has formed this menace of the Taliban, you know. So in the big area, they have a very strong hold there.
Which area?
In Fatah, in Khyber Pakhtunkhwa, in the some parts of Baluchistan, and even in some parts of Punjab.
How does that mean they have big influence? It means they have big communities who back them, or they have strong bases of support, or how does it actually reflect itself on the ground?
In some areas, they have some support, but even due to the tribal customs. And in some areas, they have a lot of madrasas, a lot of religious schools. Mm. Taliban means students. Talibans were the students of these madrasas.
Okay.
Now, in Pakistan, so more than 28,000 madrasas are working and doing their business in Pakistan. Out of 28,000, only the 8,000 are registered. Other 20,000 madrasas and these schools are not registered.
And how do these madrasas recruit students to participate in their schools?
Yes, that is a very important question, you know. They are giving them food, shelter, clothes, education. And then they are giving the ticket of the heaven to their parents. That's why this people are, and one thing is very important, you know. One is it's the poverty, because people can't afford the education. And on the vice versa, the government has and the regime, and especially the state has very less funds for the education in Pakistan. That's why they're flourishing, you know.
So what sort of percentage of school students go to government schools?
It's around about 55%, but in the primary schools. So if there's, you can close it. There's a lot of different kinds of education in Pakistan. American schools, where the fees is in dollars. Again, the government schools. Again, the private schools, again, the madrasas, and different kinds of educations in Pakistan. So that's the problem here. There's not a uniformed education here in Pakistan. So that's why there's a big difference between the American schools and the madrasas. They're producing some other mindset, these American schools, and the madrasas are producing some other mindset. So that is the mindset which is the terrorist mindset. They are actually teaching them in their courses that this is the real Islam. You can go and destroy the whole world and kill the enemies, all except their sect. Even in the sect, not only the religion, all the religions except Islam, they are enemies. And all the sects except their sect, they are their enemies.
What sect? Is there one sect or are there several sects?
There are so many sects, but the main sect which is involved in that issue, that is the Deoband School of Thought.
The what?
Deoband School of Thought. It's a Sunni. Basically, it's a Sunni school of thought. There's a major four school of thoughts in Islam.
Where does it originate?
They originated from the Deoband. There is a city where they have started, and now they are controlling a lot of in Afghanistan, in Pakistan. Mm. They're anti-Shia. Mm. So even they have a lot of support. American have did a lot of support. Even the West and the Gulf states have given a lot of support, especially against the Shiites. Iran has given a lot of support to the Shiites in Pakistan. In the Gulf states, even Saudi Arabia and the Iraq and the Kuwait and the other states have given a lot of support to these school of thoughts.
There seems to be some very large cities in Pakistan with a significant urban youth. Do you think the type of unrest that we've seen in the Middle East might at some stage be reflected in Pakistan?
Possibility is there, but not like that. Because in Pakistan there's a different, there is a political intervention. If the political intervention is not there, that may be a spontaneous movement, but there is a remote chances of that movement. But still, because the regime has not even about the price hike, they have not any control on the price hike. And one is the major thing is unemployment. It's mounting. It's increasing day by day. And even this, not a single government is ready to address that problem, you know.
So how do people live if they're unemployed?
It's a living because there's a joint family system here. They're living in their houses. But even still, there's due to that unemployment, there's a crime. It's increasing in every city in Pakistan, every village, every township. So, also the drugs. So that is the problem in Pakistan. And the youth is under 25, is more than 50% in Pakistan.
And the national regions of the country, there seem to be various conflicts breaking out between nationalities. What's the root of, like, Balochistan and other areas? What's the root of this?
Nationalism is here in Pakistan. Especially in, nowadays, it's insurgency in Balochistan. People are not only fighting, but people are defying. People are not ready to accept the name of Pakistan. You know? They have their own organization, Baloch Liberation Army, and all these things. So there is a support from the American and the Indians and the other countries. They're supporting them. And even there is, again, a proxy war between America and China in Balochistan. So regime is, there's a lot of repression. And again, they have the same things, you know, they're killing the poor Punjabis there. So they have the right of self-determination. We are supporting it. But it's nowadays it's the irony of that movement, because the leadership in that movement, the leadership is not the working class. Leadership is in the feudals, in the hands of the feudals. Leadership in the hands of the tribal lords, and the capitalists. So in Pakistan, not only in Balochistan, in Sindh, nationalism is there. In Punjab, the Saraiki problem is there. In Khyber Pakhtunkhwa, the Pashtun nationalism is there. And the new movement is the Hazara movement is there. And in every part of the country, there's a national movement is there. In Kashmir, national movement is there. In Gilgit-Baltistan, national movement is there. So nationalist movements are always there. But I think there we can only win through the class struggle, not only through the narrow nationalism. It's impossible here in Pakistan.
But are most of these areas poor, tribal, or
peasant areas.
Yes, mainly these are the poor areas.
So how do you think they could be galvanized behind a class struggle program, a working class program? How do you think that would be possible?
It's a possibility only through the political movement only, that if we ask them and if we support them, their exploitation is there. We are all the time explaining the exploitation by the state. We are supporting their rights. But again, there's, according to my point of view, there's only one party, which is the People's Party, which has a good basis in the not only the four provinces, even in Kashmir and Gilgit-Baltistan, through a class question, through a support from the poor masses. That is the, otherwise not only a single party which has the basis so long. So that's why People's Party is very important, because it's linking with the class question, you know.
But with the rising unemployment and the economic problems, is the government of the PPP or the coalition government not being blamed for this?
Why not? They are the responsible, because they're running the same system.
So they're
not only running the same system, they're running the same, even like the General Musharraf and General Zia policies. They have the, in that regime, they have the people who are the ministers of that regimes. So they have the same policies. They have to change their policies according to the basic manifesto of the People's Party, which is the real solution, and the basic manifesto of Pakistan People's Party is a socialist manifesto. And through that, only you can solve the problems of Pakistan, the poor people and the class, working class people of Pakistan.
So coming back to this question of the generals, which you just mentioned, how much power do the generals and the army have within society in Pakistan?
Still, they have a lot of power. They're enjoying, because in every important decision, they have their own opinion, and after their opinion, regime is decided. What they thought.
How do they exercise this power? Have they got economic power? Or
yes, in one hand they have the military power, and on the other side, they have the economic power. Because in Pakistan, more than 40% economy is controlled by the army through the Fauji Foundation, through the banks, Askari Bank, through the Frontier Works Organization, through the DHA, Defense Housing Authority, through the National Logistic Cell, and so they're doing a lot of business. Pakistan Army is not only the professional army, they have the corporate interests. They are producing sugar, they are producing fertilizer, they have almost all the cement and all these things they're controlling.
So is there a clash between civilian power and military power, and if so, how does it reflect itself?
Yes, still there is a clash. Still, they think that they have the power and they have the domination, and they have.
And what about social movements in society? The trade unions you mentioned, and peasant movements, student movements. Are there such things in Pakistan?
Yes, it's in the different areas. There's different movements, especially the trade union movement is here. So a lot of strikes are there, even within the PPP regime. But there is a problem of the trade union workers, you know. All the opponents of the PPP are the direct, clear-cut enemies of the working class. That's why they are struggling, but they are supporting also. So that is the dialectical relation with the PPP. Of the workers, and there's peasants, There are some youth movements, but not a big youth movement here in Pakistan. So we have to organize these movements, especially the youth movement, which is very important and vital within Pakistan.
Well, how about the women's movement, the conditional women?
It is, but it's a very weak movement here. It's basically the NGOtic movement here in Pakistan.
NGOs, yeah. When you say that, I see we were, for example, in the video shop just now, and there are advertisements on television and so on, which are very westernized image of women. They don't correspond, in my view, to the image that's presented to us in Britain about what is the position of women in society. So is there some sort of conflict taking place between cultures? Or
yes, there is a conflict because there's a working class women is doing something different, and the upper class women has no any veil and all these things, you know. And they are enjoying all these things, you know. They are wearing the jeans and everything, you know, sleeveless shirts and everything. And there's have a lot of dancing parties and all these things, drinking, all these things in the upper class. But in the lower class, they are contributing, especially the women are contributing a lot of, in the especially the agrarian economy. Even in the factories, a lot of women are working in the stitching factories. So, in the garment factories. So, they are not possible to perform like the middle class, these working class women. So, they are working whole day and night. But in the middle class, there's a different culture. There's very religious women are there. They are not coming out of the house, so they because they can afford. Working class can't afford to live within their houses. So that is the conflict between the three different classes and their characters. So even then, there's the women of this country mainly is very liberal women. The culture was very liberal. Now it's dominated by the religious.
When did this change?
It's after the Zia regime, mm-hmm. Zia Marshall.
When was that?
After the 77, you know, okay. It started. Okay. It's still going on. Even the influence of fundamentalism is increasing in Pakistan day by day. There's more mosques, there are more madrasas, everything is increasing in Pakistan.
We went to a supermarket a few days ago in Islamabad, and it seemed that all the goods on sale were multinational goods.
Yes, multinationals are working here. It's the domination by the multinationals.
There's no real national economy in that sense.
No, not. You can't say it. This is the national economy.
Why are there power cuts all the time?
It's there's no electricity in Pakistan because they have not planned anything in Pakistan. The system is incapable to build any dam, any projects on coal and the wind energy, the solar energy, the cheapest energy for the people of Pakistan. So you can't import it from anywhere. You have to produce it from here. But there was no plan. So the solution is you have to nationalize the economy, but under the workers' control.
And do you think this program will gain an echo?
We are explaining the Chinese economy here because Pakistan has good relations with China, but these relations are with the regimes. And can we introduce here the experiment of China? So that is an appealing argument for the masses, you know. So there's no solution within this system of this capitalist system. It's a failed in America, in Japan, in Europe, in everywhere. So how it can achieve anything in Pakistan?